Welcome to welcome to like ostrich hours was what I almost said, but I thought I'd just say it anyway. Sometimes it's funny to just let a typo slip. We're here for the next half hour to answer questions about Resonate. I'm going to answer in the order that they appear. Please don't repeat questions or copy and paste questions from earlier on in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and take them from top to bottom, and we'll go through them as quickly as we can. Don't have many announcements here. But I do hope that we get through it. I see a lot of package questions. That's great. We'll get through them. Okay, so J4 says, how is Prime doing? I'm just having like a really interesting time of life right now due to a variety of like personal factors that I don't really want to talk about. But it's basically like I haven't been able to catch a break since like April in terms of like, this will make sense to lots of you who go to conventions or travel a lot for work or just have a busy lifestyle. Sometimes you just want like a period of a block of time in your life where you do like sleep, work, eat. You just want like the regular stuff, right? I used to live in another apartment block, and I would always see this couple that just for some reason never closed their blinds, so I could always see what they were doing in their living room. And for years, they would just be watching Friends and eating dinner. Like whenever I walk past, it's just like watching Friends and eating dinner, like on the couch. And I'm just like, some days I wish my life was like that, right? I finished work. I have literally nothing else productive to do. I'm going to sit on the couch, eat some food and watch Friends. By the way, I've never watched a single Friends episode as an adult. As a child, I didn't understand them mostly because of the laughter track, but there we go. That's what I wanted for like a couple of months, and I just wasn't able to get it. Like between April and now, there's just been like so many different like things going on. It's hard to just like be human for a bit. I've cleared some like room to do that now for like probably the rest of the summer, so that's good. And, you know, I want to like get into a rhythm, a routine again. That just completely fell by the wayside because like it was like every 5 minutes I was either going somewhere sick, or someone was coming here, or I was traveling, or you know something was up. Very annoying. Anyway, I'll scroll down to some more questions. Earthmark says, the package format feature has dropped, but as someone who wants to programmatically modify packages, is the format specified anyway? Anyway, we can reverse engineer the format, but I'm curious if there are defined specs of the package format. There are no defined specs of the packaged format available for documentation currently. That's something we might be able to change in the future, but remember that the whole point of this feature is not to programmatically modify packages. It's meant to be used for local backups and sharing, and neither of those need programmatic modification. Having said that, though, it is possible to do so, and I could probably upload a video to my channel that will get you like half the way there. But like, it's just fundamentally not what we want the feature to be used for. If you happen to use the feature for that, great. But that's why there's a lack of documentation right now. An annoyance, but also like it's fine, I understand, but like we'll work through it together, that I'm experiencing right now is we've released a brand new feature for a very specific reason, and most of my DMs right now are people asking how to use it for reasons that are not those well-specified reasons. I'll use like an example. You know, it's like someone saying like, oh, this kettle boils water, so can it boil cheese? It's like, no, this is like fundamentally not what the kettle is for, but like, okay, I understand how you might think that. Like, a kettle boils liquid. Can it boil any liquid? Cheese is a liquid when it's melted, you know, etc. So keep those questions coming, but do reread the goals and non-goals that I put on the wiki page. I base those based on all the discussion involved. All right, Nuki's got a bunch of questions. Looks like three. So Nuki says, we were discussing UIX stuff last night regards into world optimization, and someone thought that the amount of canvases I had set up as static text would be an issue, but I'm not noticing anything. So what's the real use of UIX canvases? What unit do you want that in? Fahrenheit? Celsius? Kilogram? Meter? Mile? No. The real reason I can't answer that question is, like, what unit do you want that? I personally would not worry about UIX canvases at all. Look at your dash and remember that each individual facet on that dash is a separate canvas. It does use the nested canvas system, which I believe does have some improvements, but like, don't worry about it. Each canvas does add like a render tree. I don't know how any of that works. I know that like the deeper I get into the UX code, the more I start crying, so I try and avoid it. However, the next question I can probably answer with a probably. Would there be a performance improvement from just using text renders and images on a black background? Most certainly, because there wouldn't be have to be any calculations in how the, you know, how everything's laid out. I just don't know how you would measure that. I guess you could measure that by like dropping, you know, 100,000 UX text canvases into a world and looking at all the statistics in the debug view, and then dropping in, you know, 100 or so regular text renderers into the world and looking at the debug view. Which, by the way, I would love more people to do, right? I know that we don't have really good profiling tools for you guys, but if you add 100,000 of anything, it's really easy to profile the difference between two things. Like, 100,000 avatars in a session, the exact same avatar, is likely to show any performance issues that that individual avatar might have. If you can't go below your frame cap, that's, like, fine. There's, like, a medical world I talk about all the time, where we do jaw surgery visualization and stuff, and the techniques I use in that world are a little bit hacky, and the reason behind that is because that world is designed for one purpose. I don't need to worry about other users coming in and making avatars. That's not what the world is for. So I make heavy use of the world dynamic variable space, which is something which the community generally frown on. They shouldn't, but they generally do. But because it's a dedicated world, I do that. There's also a bunch of protoflux that runs in that world to do various things with bones, mathematics, and dot products, and all sorts to figure stuff up. But that thing runs at like 45 frames with one person in it, which is like, it's perfect. I mean, it's not perfect, but like it's there's not much I can do to improve over 45. All right, moving forwards. Oh, hang on, we've got another question here. How does UX canvas system work under the hood? Like, under the hood, there's like a render tree that renders it. I don't know how any of that works. I'd have to dig into it. I know that like the old UI renderer was really slow, and the new one is really fast though. Like, sometimes, like, anyone who's worked on a large code base, particularly a one that has IntelliSense and things like this, they will know that. But like, I can just control click for a long time on the class extension line of the C# classes involved in UIX. What that means is, like, it's a lot of inheritance tree to make things cool. It's fun. Zinaru says, this might be a bit of a Geen's question, but once the switch switches to source, presumably the video texture provider component won't have a Unity native renderer anymore. That is correct, yes. Once we're outside of Unity, we won't have a Unity native renderer. Since LibVLC has several quirks, to put it lightly, will other playback engines like MBV considered? We have a separate GitHub item to update our use of LibVLC. I always forget the details because it's months before I look at it again. And I get confused because of YouTube download DLP as well. Like, that whole area is just confusing. But we do have an open GitHub issue where we're looking at fixing up our integration with LibVLC, at which point it would probably be all of your issues would be fixed, or if there's specific issues, we can take a look at them. But it would probably be that we would start on source with LibVLC as the only video provider. Flux says, there's nothing you can't reso package. You can't reso package a world via a world orb right now. Users have stated that, yep, you can go into the world, and provided all the world furniture is located under its own slot, which is something that I recommend anyway, you can technically export the package of the entire world. This results in a similar experience to the one which UniFesta had, where they did that whole animation with the paper and the books flying, and then the world loaded on top. You could do that with a reso package. But you can't do it from like specifically a world orb or something like that, which we already have a GitHub issue with. Senator has a follow-up question. As a follow-up, how responsible is the chosen playback engine for playback desync? No idea. I'd have to look into it, unfortunately. Draconis says, can I put instant coffee in a kettle? Technically, yeah. There's also some people who like make ramen in kettles and stuff like that. I was watching a YouTuber yesterday. What's their name? Hey, YouTuber shout out. Not sponsored. Mr. Who's the Boss. Yes, Mr. Who's the Boss. I watched their video on their health starting to suffer, and they were talking about their allergies, and they're like, look, I bought an air purifier. And I'm like, I should do that. So there's an air purifier downstairs waiting for me. It's the follow-up video. But anyway, I was watching... What was I talking about? I don't know. But I was watching them, and they did a sort of Japanese video, which I also recommend. Look at Prime just advertising random YouTube videos now. But anyway, they did a Japanese sort of tour through one of the big Japanese tech stores, and one of the things they bought was like a mug, which is basically a kettle, but it's designed to cook in it. So yeah, you could do that. Tiki says, I created a photo album with 20 to 50 2K pictures after spawning them from 5 to 10 times to show friends. Resonite runs out of memory and crashes. Should I use a different way to share an image than normal import? At that level, maybe a PDF works. The problem there is that, like, if you think about things like Google Photos or the Photos app on Windows or even your own file system, there's no reasonable way that it would load all of those 20 to 50 2K pictures into memory at the same time. Like the photo viewer apps, when you push next, it will load the next photo into the photo viewer app. Until then, it's just like a photo within the folder. So if you were to take those 20 to 50 pictures and right-click open all of them in Photoshop or Photo Viewer, I'm sure those would also struggle. As for the exact reason why it's struggling, please make a bug report there, particularly if there's a crash or something that might be diagnostically relevant in the logs there. A PDF page file would work quite well for you. With the PDF UI we have, you'd also get a nice sort of gallery view where you can just like next page, previous page, the PDF. So if you don't mind doing that, that might be a way around it right now, but do make a GitHub issue that sort of details some stuff. There might be something in the logs there that would take you through it. In another Discord server where someone was like ranting about the need for logs, I actually recorded it like live. I didn't record it, but I live shared my screen and I talked how I read a log file. I want to put that on my channel as well, because everyone that watched that went from log files are kind of like to I will absolutely make sure there's a log file at every GitHub issue ever for you, Prime, thank you. I'm just like, cool, so I should probably put that on my channel. I loaded GitHub and I have no idea why, so I'm gonna just carry on. Oh, I remember why. So someone asks, not someone, Zenerus asks, what's the status of the Resonite wiki in terms of documenting all things that exist on Resonite? So there's a wiki status page there, which has a lot of stuff that needs to basically happen. There are a lot of red links. You can also go to special pages, wanted pages. Here we are, wanted pages. So here, wanted pages shows you all the pages which have a lot of links into them. Ignore the one at the top, S1, that's something to do with translation. But like, look, someone is really looking for a wiki page on sync field list backtick 1. So make sure to take a look at that. Looks like people really want a page on IK as well. When I say people, what I mean is like the wiki itself. Like that page there is like every time a red link appears, it goes onto that page and gets like plus 1. So there are 8 things that link to an IK page and we don't have an IK page. Unfortunately, this page here counts the translation fragments, which means that like it's not actually that useful. So if you go to the IK backlinks, you'll see that there's an IK reference in May 2024 survey 3EN, which means translation unit 3 for EN links back to IK, which of course it does. So it's kind of like difficult there. If you have any specific questions on the wiki, do let me know. One thing I will say on the wiki though is that it will never ever be finished, and that isn't because like we're incompetent or we're not trying. Everyone's trying fantastically, by the way. Anyone listening that is a wiki contributor, thank you, keep it up, love to see it. I'm looking for a way to sort of like collate how many like contributions you've made into like maybe a badge at some point. Like, I haven't even talked to the team about this, so you know they feel free to they can say no, but it's like, you know, maybe if you do so much wiki activity, you get a badge. Moving forwards, Nuki says, people frown upon dynamic world variables. Why? So it's specifically shoving stuff in world forward slash, right? So the world forward slash basically means that you're registering a dynamic variable to the world's dynamic variable space. And the reason why that's frowned upon is usually because it's a creation that you intend to take to other worlds. So an example might be an avatar. Like an avatar should ideally probably not use world forward slash because all of the dynamic variables that it should need to interact with should be allocated to the user instead. And the reason behind that is collision. So let's say that your object does like world best object, right? On load, it shoves a reference to the slot of the best object into the world best object variable. And then another person spawns another item that thinks it's the best object, it would then also write into world best object. So it's like a collision and namespacing thing. If you are the creator of the world, though, you can do whatever the hell you want in the world dynamic space. And generically, you can also do whatever the hell you want in the world dynamic variable space, but do be aware that there might be collisions. I'm not entirely sure how unregistering of a dynamic variable works as well. But let's say you're running a headless and someone comes in and they spawn a bunch of stuff that does refer to the world dynamic variable space. I don't know how. Either way, I don't know. Like, I have not looked at this. Cleaning up of those dynamic variables in the dynamic variable space's internal storage is handled when that object would then leave that world. I would think that Freaks would have covered that, but I don't know. I'd have to open the code and take a look. Flux says world forward slash should be used more, and they're absolutely correct. You just need to keep in mind all those things I've just talked about. Ozzy says there seems to be a lot of focus on .NET 8 issues recently. Is there any funny quirks in Freaks Engine or the libraries using Mono that makes it difficult to switch over? Unity is incapable of running .NET 8 for its like main runtime. And what that means is that Resonite has to be hosted on effectively .NET 7.4.7.2, but it's still Mono under the hood. So there are a bunch of gaps where like Mono hasn't developed a .NET 8 thing, but .NET 8 has developed a .NET 8 thing. And a lot of those are in the underlying architecture of the language and how it runs. And that means that like not only do you lose out on features, for example, we can't use the bleeding edge .NET 8 features. I don't have one to hand, but one of the bleeding edge .NET 8 features. We can't use that because we're running on Mono, but we also can't leverage the .NET 8 improvements in terms of the actual architecture that underlines the code. When it comes to C#, you are writing a lot of code yourself, yes, but there are a lot of systems behind that code that are managing things. Things like garbage cleanup, things like memory management, etc. You can opt in to doing that yourself in C# with various eldritch words that you can put in various places, but for the most part you don't, and you need to trust the runtime to do that for you. And the runtimes in Unity is old and confusing, and so moving up to .NET 8 would unlock a bunch of stuff. It would also make writing better code real easy. It doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes it does happen where like I'm writing code for like a feature in Freaks Engine, and I realize, god damn it, that won't work because we're not on .NET 8. So I have to like subtly change it so that it does work on .NET 8. And then there are performance quirks as well. I don't know any of these off the top of my head. It's one of my jobs is actually to document them when I find them. Specifically do not use this like architecture or structure of your code because it is bad on this version of Mono. Like, it's not bad on .NET 8, but because we're on this version of Mono, it's slower, so don't use it. That's the sort of thing that gets really annoying. Zener says, when is my birthday? And that's for me to know and you to maybe find out. I don't really like birthdays. For anyone who's like met me and had this conversation, I apologize, but here you're gonna get it anyway. Like, we are basically just weird flesh neck suits, and so birthdays to me are just a reminder that we're all slowly decaying into gloop. Right? One day you're just gonna be goop. Unless you're cremated, in which case you'd be like gaseous goop, but like, you know, still goop. Like, you will be goop in some form later on in your life. Shadow says, what is panoramic mode on the camera component? I haven't noticed any difference to perspective. I didn't know they had that. I thought we just had perspective and orthographic. I don't know. I'd have to take a look. VT says, what is the cheese of the day? I don't answer cheese questions. It's a meme. Dracona says, what isn't multi-core in Resonite? I'm just going to go ahead and link you to the multi-threaded page on the wiki. Because there's a bunch of sources there where you can read them, etc. Because I collated a bunch from Discord and GitHub and stuff. Okay, let's jump down. Another question from Manuki here. I'm trying to implement the noclip tracking system from the cloud home. I brought in an auto-injected slot, but it doesn't seem to the entirety of it triggers colliders. Can you talk about how to implement that? No, you need to speak to a content team member to know how that works. In like a weird sort of protest, I'm against noclip tracking systems because it's noclip. Just generically speaking, you should be in noclip less than you are, just above all places, because it's like people like routinely, it happens like every 6 months, someone makes some sort of GitHub issue, which boils down to, can we make noclip clip? And it's like, no, no, we can't. I'm happy that people have figured out how to do it, but like I've made it like a sort of weird protest in my brain. I don't look at those systems. So Zenner says, before you met Phyrexius and worked on all this stuff, what did you do? We can do a prime time history. If anyone's not interested in this, tough. This is my office hours, not yours. I got my start motorsport racing. I wasn't actually racing, but I was doing the technical parts of it. My dog is licking my toes right now. It's quite disconcerting. I think our website's still up. So I was involved with a startup called Track Intel. Oh my god, it redirects. Track Intel redirects to TechHoyer now? Okay, cool. Yeah, we shut down the company a while ago. Well, not shut it down. Like, I left, but it was shutting down. We did motorsport management stuff. So anything to do with motorsport management that could be done on a computer, we did on a computer. I did that for many years. I've been to most locations that have a racetrack in the United States. I spent significant time on the Isle of Man. And yeah, it was a really fun job and probably the best job I've ever had, period, ever, including sorting it above Resonate, right? It was just incredibly fun. But the reason why it all shut down was because we slowly realized that no one wanted to pay money for the technical part. The money at racing organizations, racing meets, you know, stuff like that, it all went to hardware, as in the actual motorcycles, equipment, fuel, oil, all that stuff. Or it went to sponsors, such as Monster, quite prolific in the racing industry, and various other things like that. Just general event management, or the coffers of like the race club that was going. So the race club could have like events or stuff like that. They didn't have much money or much interest in finding ways to give money to the technical systems that run. And so we were trying to stand up an amazing technical system that was fantastic, but no one wanted to pay for it. Most of our clients had stripped down versions of those features, so the costs were minimized. Plus our software actually wasn't, like, it was good, but it wasn't that good. There were quite a few, like, teething pains, because only two people worked on it, myself and the owner. Anyway, from that, I bumped into streaming. That's another long story, but ended up at Mixer. Mixer used to be called Beam. It was purchased by Microsoft in 2016. Then Mixer moved me out to America, where I worked on Mixer for a bit. Microsoft shut down Mixer, which is what they do. And then they bumped me over to a part of Azure called Azure Communication Services. It's basically Twilio, but Azure. I stayed there for a bit, but it was very clear that team wasn't a good fit. So now I work on Resonate, and I'm very pleased to tell you that Resonate pays me. You can see from the latest recap stream, the one before it now, there was a financial report which has a payroll, which I've been meaning to put that on a wiki page. I just haven't got around to doing that yet. Fruk says .NET 8 has much better JIT code gen, meaning for the same C# code, it generates faster native code. Yeah, so remember that when you're writing C#, the code looks nice, right? C# is one of the many class-based languages that, like, it looks okay to read, right? You can write bad code in it, but you can write bad code in any language. But, like, it looks okay. Like, you're familiar with the furniture. There's classes, there's variables, there's functions. You're familiar with the structure. But any language that is compiled like that one, it takes that and it translates it down to a lower-level language, which is impossible to read because it's just, like single line statements involving memory addresses. It's very confusing. I didn't say neck suits. I said mech suits. Like, you know, Evangelion, Gundam. We're basically flesh Gundams. It's really annoying because, like, annoying is the real word. It's, like, really weird because, you know, there are lots of people who are like, oh, yeah, I'd love to, like, pilot a Gundam or a mech. And I'm like, you kind of already are. It's just small and doesn't do much. Some more comments on .NET 8. So sorry, talks about hardware accelerated vectorization. Yeah, that's really good. So newer CPUs have like dedicated areas on the CPU that can handle vectorized calculations a lot better. Like things like, I don't know if SIMD and the vectorization data types are like the same. I think so. I don't know enough about CPU architecture at all, but SIMD is basically single instruction, multiple data, is like what some of the processing parts can do. All right, let's move around. Sorry, I just read it and got really distracted by J4. J4, this is a great solution, right? You're trying to propose a solution, and just because you're trying to propose a solution, it's great. So J4 says, can we get a maybe clip component that only clips on certain stuff? Like, yeah, that's the, like, exactly the sort of like conversation we get. I know some other engines do that. Like, they have clip layers. And so things like enemies clip into different colliders than players. That can be useful for sort of constraining an enemy to a room. Like, you know the bit in the video game where you open a door and you go through it and you're running away from enemies and then they just follow you through the door? Sometimes maybe that door would have a clip plane on it that is set to the layer enemy, right? And that means that the enemy would clip with the door even if the door is open, but you as the player wouldn't. And then the enemy runs through the door anyway and you start getting scared. I was playing a Souls-like last night and that kept happening. I'm like, I'm trying to run away from a creature. I'll go through this doorway. The reason I go through the doorway is because I know, like, okay, maybe there's a clip plane. Maybe the AI isn't smart enough and go through the door. Maybe the monster's too big to go through the door. There's just like multiple reasons that going through a tiny door is very effective if you're running away from big creatures. So just do that in every video. Nuki says, is there a better way around noclip for the purposes of checking where a user is in the world? Yes, don't use noclip. Once a world is created and finished, ideally, and this is idealized, so it's like, you know, like a utopian view of the world, you shouldn't be in noclip if the world is complete. I know that most people are, but like, the world is begging you not to be in noclip. Moving forward, Ozzy says, multi-process architecture seems really interesting and honestly a neat way to handle having .NET 8 while still having Unity on mono. Is that looking more viable as the focus, or are there too many drawbacks to do? Yeah, just read GitHub issue 2265 for more information on that. Shadow says, does the team have benchmarking tools to test performance improvements? Yes. They're a little bit dusty. We haven't used them a lot. There's a lot of items in the code where like the profiling and benchmarking is turned off. I don't know much about the history there. Something which I really do appreciate is the moment that Fruk started having more people touching his code base, he started adding additional comments to the code base when he does stuff, and I just super appreciate that. That didn't occur in the history of the engine, and it's understandable that didn't, but that means that sometimes you open a file and like half of it's commented out and there's no reason why, and you're just like, cool. Guess it's commented out for some reason. But those are getting fewer and far between as we continue to work together on the code base. Like, if I see a giant commented out block, I'll be like, hey, Fruks, why is this giant block commented out? They'll answer, and then I'll put the answer in the comment. In most cases, I prefer removing giant blocks, but like I get it. Like, it's just something that happens sometimes. Remember also that Fruks Engine is a running on Unity right now, so we can use Unity's profiling tools in some cases. They don't work out effectively in some cases because of the like gap between Unity and Fruits Engine land, but it's still possible. There's a lot to say about feel as well when it comes to performance, right? So there are a variety of things and issues on Resonite that we can actually feel the performance problem. Like the hitch when someone joins, you can feel that, right? While you could profile it to find out exactly what's going on, if one day you start playing Resonite and you can't feel that hitch anymore, then I'd say we've been successful. Nuki says, fun question, because it's something they want to work on. What are your favorite public accessible accessories for avatars, or just what kind of accessories in general do you like to see proliferated? None. I'm so sorry. Like, when it comes to, like, avatars and, like, things, I have, like, very few requirements. One being, please don't make lots of noise. And if you do make noise, please balance it compared to other audio sources. Maybe reduce its volume intentionally below what you would normally be acceptable for that volume because it's on your avatar. I am very noise sensitive, and so like it takes like a split second for someone's creation to go from "that's cool" to "my brain hurts, please stop." I'm looking at you, TARDIS users, stop it. For context, there's a TARDIS. It's very cool. It can fly around. It has full sound effects, but it's incredibly loud. And I don't mind it if you're just using it to enter the session, but stereotypically what happens is people use it to enter the session, and then for some reason it just continually plays the sound effects over and over and over again. One time it like null parented itself and then would just like loop the sound effect. And I was just like, I can't. Like, my brain is on fire. I have to leave. As for accessories, I don't put accessories on my avatar because like I don't like them. Like the one exception of that is a bow tie on one of the avatars I use. That was put there by someone as a laugh, and I'm like, that looks really cool. It's staying there forever. But like I incorporate into the character. Like it, I don't have time to do this or talk about it or anything like that. But like all of my avatars have story, lore, like goals, and stuff. and none of those are unfortunately conducive to publicly available accessories, so I don't look at them. That doesn't mean they're bad, it just means I don't look at them. Like, we all use Resonite in different ways. I'm entering sort of like a minimal era of my like Resonite stuff. Like, I've stopped saving cool stuff because like I don't need to like pack rat all the cool stuff. I look at it and I go, that's really cool, but I don't need to save it. Yeah, Fruks talks about spatial system queries based on a rendering pool. Is that like spatial variables? Would that help for curling, Fruks? If we can find the GitHub issue, spatial variables. We have a GitHub issue for it. Anyway, I'll continue down the list. I don't know if that's what Fruks is specifically talking about, but see, Fruks has a plan in mind. There's a picture of a box trap with some mangoes in it for the benefit of the recording. In my public folder under memes, there is a like just a rat trap that you could tweak to your desire. It's currently got a piece of cheese in it, but you could replace that with a piece of mango and it would be a Fruks trap. Okay, let me jump around to questions. All right, so we did the accessories one. We just scroll up a little bit. Got Ozzy's, scrolling down, Sim, Candy, Fruit, Culling, Balls for some reason. Cyrus, since performance is up next in the next development priority, which part of performance will we look at first and foremost? None will be looked at first and foremost. We're going to do a research thing. I talk about this every office hours recently. Just imagine the junkiest drawer you have in your dwelling and dump it on the floor. And then get on the floor and start sorting it by hand. That's what we're going to do, right? You look at it, you go like, do I need this questionable battery that might be charged, might not be charged? No, I will throw away this battery. Do I need this 3-year-old Chinese takeout menu from a place that has closed and it's covered in like food? No, throw it out. This is a screwdriver that came free with the piece of furniture I bought. Do I need it? No, you've got your own dedicated screwdriver. You can throw that away. Do I need this random bag of screws? Because you know when you buy IKEA furniture, they always give you extra. I always keep the extra, but then like 5 years later, I've just got like a bag of random hardware from IKEA and I don't know what to do with it. That's the like level that we need to do to figure out the performance issues, right? We might know that some items within the junk drawer can be thrown away, but some we have to look at. We have to shake the bag of parts and be like, do we need this? Does this need work? There are items on Fruks's performance board, which if someone can link, or I'll get the link at some point, that are publicly created issues that we know that will somehow track. But you're really going to have to wait for basically devlog. Like I predict, and I hope, no pressure Fruks, but I predict that devlog will become quite active during the research phase. You know, it might be like, here's some graphs, or here's some information I found out. And you'll start seeing that sorting through the junk drawer process in devlog. Fruks says, usually the first step to everything is research, design, and figure stuff out. That is very important to note. There's a particular issue which is quite controversial today that I don't really want to talk about on the recording. But it's out there, and it's the first part of that is to research and design a plan. And that's what we're going to do. So always got to remember that. Like, even if like it's an issue, a GitHub issue that like Fruks or I made, still, step one is to research and figure out, can we even do this? Spec says, I'm begging content creators, please build your audio content assuming 100% volume is set on all volume settings. Do that, and then you'll notice how much of a problem audio is on Resonite. What I mean by that is, if you're doing that, you'll probably be setting your audio to 100% volume to create the object, and then finishing that object, you might, you know, join a session and be like, look, I made something cool, and you will immediately be audio overwhelmed by everything being unbalanced. You need to make sure that the falloff is set correctly. You need to make sure that the volume is lower than max, right? Most things should be lower than max volume on the audio output. Like, it's up to you, of course, but what you're trying to do is create a range of audio. So let's say you're making a game map, and at some point there's a big explosion. That's okay to be loud because it's an explosion, but your Kingdom Hearts context menu does not get to be as loud as an explosion. Electron says Prime Law. Yes. A long time ago, someone wrote Law for my original avatar, and everything is connected. I'll say that. But okay, and then Fruks has qualified that spatial variables are different than the culling stuff. That's okay. It means we get two systems. Anuki says, what's the number one thing you want new users to be told after the tutorial? Start small and build on the knowledge as you go. One of the problems I see a lot is people want to do cars or guns first of all, and it's like, okay, let's try breaking a car down into its component parts. You need a steering wheel, so maybe you should look into the joint component. Like, I would say if you want to make a car and you don't know how a steering wheel should work, maybe try making one of those big steam valves in video games, you know, that you have to turn to, like, open a big door or something. That'd be a really good learning objective that you can do there. And it would be really cool to see a puzzle game where there's, like, a really stressful moment with, like, alarms going off and it's like, turn the valve! And it's really difficult to do. Just saying, just, like, that would be fun. Speaking of that, let me see if I can get this clip really quickly. I can't find a clip, but Final Fantasy VIII was one of my childhood favorite games, and I still to this day watch a lot of... I did find it. I did find the video. People speedrun it, and I watch occasionally. I'll just watch a speedrun. It like it refreshes your memory of of the storyline, of the characters, of the music. It's just a really good time to watch a speedrun. One of the parts in that speedrun is one of these valves, but because it's not, you know, a VR title, you have to mash the button. And it's a really big thing in the Final Fantasy VIII speedrunning community where people are learning, trying new techniques to get this valve to open first time with their button mashing. Anyway, once you've got the valve, maybe you need to work on a pedal or something like that, at which point you're starting to go there. Or maybe you can work on a door. That's another joint. But, like, you know, break it up. Break the car up. Zenerys, I see you have two avatars, which is the real you. I have, like, eight. And they're all not me. Because I remember, I'm the flesh mech suit. It's really weird. It's like your brain pilots the flesh mech suit. And then the flesh mech suit pilots your VR controllers to then create your avatar. And then internally, all the streams of data that figure out where your controllers are in terms of Resonite, they then puppet the avatar. It's like marionettes all the way down. Jason, what was the very first contact with VR stuff? I am an original Oculus Rift backer. So I backed the original Oculus Rift. So the Rift DK1 arrived at my house when it came out. And I set it all up, put it on, and I was just like, all right, this is cool, but I don't really know Unity, so cool. And then I put it in a cupboard and didn't use it. I took it to a game jam once. And so still to this day, my DK1 on its box, it's got a piece of paper taped to it with like my contact details from that period, just in case it got lost or misplaced, etc. It was like, you know, this is owned by this person. Here's a telephone number. But I then did get the CV1 for free because that was part of the Oculus Rift backing deal. Like you got the DK1 and the CV1. And the CV1 was great, but I didn't use it much at the time because the CV1 originally shipped without hand controllers. It didn't have hand controllers. Later on, when I was in Berlin for a bit in 2017, 2018, it's another story for another day, the hand controllers came out, I bought them, and then I played I Expect You to Die, the first one, using those hand controllers. But then I put it away again. And then I came over here to America, and on top of the bookshelf, which I still have today, the Rift box is there. It's like almost like a display piece because it looked cool. And a colleague on the Mixer days, he just off the cuff told me, yeah, I spent the entire weekend as Knuckles the Hedgehog running around and shouting at people. So I'm sorry if my voice is a little hoarse. And I'm like, what? Like, explain more. And they talked about VR chat. And then I went in there. But I didn't want to go in with, like, them as an escort. Because I never want to do that in a video game. I hate doing that in a video game. It's like, I want to go in and experience it myself. And so then I played VR chat on my CV1 for a bit. Zenerys says, a serious question. Why do you like cheese so much to the point it pumps the character? What's the importance of cheese to you? Did you know that the way that cheese interacts with the brain chemistry means that, like, some molecules in cheese are very, very similar to, like, hardcore street drugs. And so maybe that's why. I don't know. The point is, like, there is scientific evidence to say that cheese is slightly addictive. I'm going to go ahead and read for the benefit of the recording Freak's statement about problems. So Freak says, there's two approaches to a problem. You jump in right away and you start coding implementing as a go. This works at the beginning, but whatever implicit design decisions end up happening as part of this get baked in. And once you realize those are a problem, they're hard to change because they're all baked into the all the implementation, and there's probably content built on top of it. That's the important thing as well. If we release a public build that has some sort of functionality, we need to endeavor, because it's not always possible, but we endeavor strongly to make that backwards compatible. If you ever open up some Protoflux and you see the word like auto-injected or something like that, that means that's us looking at your creation when it loads and being like, whoops, we made it incompatible. Let's add another node to make it compatible again. It's like, it's crazy. Like, you know, you can load worlds from years ago and they'll still work. But option two is you spend a chunk of time sketching things out on paper, figuring out how the system is structured at different levels of abstraction and how it can handle different things you can throw at it, or years into the future. You keep reworking the design until you're comfortable with it, and then you actually implement it. This is a much slower start, but then huge benefits long term. A good example might be the setting system, right? That setting system, what we needed is a way to render easily n number of inputs. So n is, you know, however many you've got. And the inputs need to be a variety of types. So if you look at settings, you've got the sliders, the checkboxes, the text boxes, etc. But there are n items of them. So we need to render n items into a list. Fruk could have written a specified piece of code that just did that for settings, you know, looped over all settings and rendered them. But instead, Fruk wrote the data feed system, which is basically n to the max. It's like data feeds can provide n items in whatever format you want, and then each data feed item gets bound to a piece of UI, and it's cool. Fruk says that they almost always do number two, and I tend to push against when people push me to do number one. Sometimes I do number one if it's isolated enough, but it takes a good bit to be comfortable committing to something. There's a similar thing with the performance and stuff. I do have good ideas, but I wouldn't want to commit to a particular course of action until I reevaluate those and gather up some data. There's also the problem, which is that some users, and everyone does this, so don't feel bad about it, they read like earlier ideas we have, and they like save them to like very central parts of their brain. And so then when we do something that is against that previous notion, they get agitated and it becomes problematic. It makes me kind of want to like produce scientific papers for my GitHub issues sometimes. It's like, here's all my sources, here's all my research, like, leave me alone. I do like a different approach sometimes. Like sometimes I'll go like to two, and then I'll be like, all right, I know the problem enough, I can jump to one, right? I can jump in, I can start writing stuff. And I'll get halfway through like writing maybe a C# class, and I'll just be like, this is wrong, or I'll delete it. There's stuff that like I've got on branches that is like really cool stuff that I want to like get into the engine, but it's written in a way that is really hacky, but I've written it because it kind of like allowed me to get the idea out of my head, and it means I can like look at it later. Draconis says, what has been your favorite social incident in Resonate so far? I still think it's the video on Enzi's YouTube channel with the cow and the farts and stuff. For anyone who doesn't know that, that sounds out of context like madness. But like, it happened. The cows and the farts and stuff. Jeb asked Freaks directly, do you ever have a situation where you plan, you laid it all out on paper, and it's actually wrong and you wasted your time structuring it because it wouldn't work? Fricks responded with, no, I've never had the planning and structuring be wasted. Sometimes changes and assumptions change after, but usually through the design process, the system is modular and flexible enough that it's much easier to replace in the future when needed. That is correct. Yeah. So plans aren't perfect and they're not designed to be followed 100%, but plans help you figure out what you need to think about. If you plan it how Fruks does as well, where he does all the drawings and really thinks it out, it allows it to go into your brain and be processed a little bit better than if you were just staring at a code base as well. Jeb says that they need to actually read on systems design because of some projects I struggle to build the thing. There are two schools of thought in software engineering, and it's very important that we figure out which one of them is correct soon in the sort of course of human history. So one of them is that computer programming is an engineering discipline. And this is why you'll see the rise of like engineer and stuff like that. And what that means is that like, or what some people think it means is that there is a defined way to do things that will achieve a defined result. So a good example here is a bridge. Like there are mathematical algorithms and design principles and architecture principles that will tell you how to construct a bridge. And then because construction is mostly unionized and very well organized, even if it takes a long time, there's a very clear plan that you can make about what exactly each one of the construction workers is doing to that bridge. There's an exact measurement of concrete rebar that you need to make that bridge. And so some people say, computer software design is exactly like that. Like given enough details, enough planning, enough time, you could orchestrate it out as a complete plan. And that's how a lot of software companies continue to try to act. But there's a second school of thought, which is that programming and systems design and stuff like that is emergent design, right? Emergent design, best example of emergent design is like evolution, right? Like, there is no plan for evolution. It just kind of happens. And that's the second school of thought about how programming works. It's like you can't really program or plan everything effectively because stuff changes. And the reason why stuff changes is maybe like new requirements come in, new deadlines come in, there's randomizers, etc. Like plans just don't work because it's emergent design. And what that gets you is the knowledge that in some cases you need to throw out design patterns, or in some cases you need to invent new design patterns, or in some cases you just need to ignore all the design patterns that you've seen before. Because again, like it's an emergent problem, and maybe what you're doing just hasn't been done properly before. Modern says, will there be a data feed for things like inventory and stuff before? Yes. Everywhere that we can, we're going to be switching to data feeds because they are so much more flexible than the existing UI. For anyone who's done UI for like websites and stuff like that, like you know how difficult it can get, and data feeds is going to make that easier. Fruits has some additional clarifications on planning. That says, I've never regretted putting time into designing something properly, but I've regretted not putting enough time into designing something properly a number of times. Yes, there are some older Resonite components where you can tell that these were implemented under strange designs. I don't remember, Syro, do you know if it still exists, if you're still listening, the up-down controller? Like that thing was fantastic. I don't know if you removed that, though. Or the unwrappable box driver. Again, that one's like really specifically designed. Modern says, animatable dynamic bones. One thing I've noticed is that the transform resets each time I change the origin position and rotation. Is the way to prevent this, or is that a GitHub issue? I honestly don't know. That'd probably be a GitHub issue. Cammy says, can it be a little bit of both? Absolutely. So there are things that you know that work. Like a common thing that you know that you can plan and figure out about is things when it comes to data. So putting stuff into a database, etc., you can view that really clearly in metrics, and then you can forecast cost and storage from that really, really clearly. So if it's just like database operations, quite easy to plan out. On the back of those database like operations is usually emergent, right? It's a feature. You have no idea how many times someone's going to use a particular feature. For instance, part of designing things to be very flexible is you need to produce designs that are not too interwoven with each other and hard to change. It makes it easier to excise the system out and put a new one in than it would have been otherwise. For people familiar with C#, you can look at things like interfaces or dependency injection to sort of understand how at least the industry would recommend that you do that kind of thing. Interfaces can get a little bit like annoying though, particularly when you've got a class that implements like 20 interfaces and your brain just doesn't like, just like, what am I looking at here? Is this a person class, or is this a eye flesh mech suit? There you go. I got another reference back to that. There you go. Enjoy. I just posted a class person extends eye flesh mech suit. Well, not extends implements. Sorry. Electronic says, what are your all's favorite rushed Resonite components? I don't really know if we've like got a good example there. I guess like the pivotal example would be simple avatar protection, right? Every day I hear about like another simple avatar protection bypass or tweak, etc. And it's like, guys, like we called it this. A solution to that actually might be to get a page on the wiki about like why it's limited, what we're doing to like meet the limits, why we won't necessarily patch every problem that occurs with avatar protection. I'll try and get that page onto my list of pages to write. I knew it'd be like a controversial answer, but like it is a good example. It was made to provide protection, and then ever since then, Fruits has had to sort of like bolt on additional things. It resembles the Weasley house in Harry Potter. Here you go. It's simple avatar protection, right? It functions, but it's going to fall over at any point. Yeah, so AnimX and AnimJ are basically the same thing. Internally, we store things as AnimX because it's better for us. Externally, we allow AnimJ so that you can write and use it, although I don't think many people are using it right now. Xeris says, why is there a car flying? The Weasleys own a flying car. It's just a fact. It's a magic book, magic life. So, yeah. J4 says, time to open the can of worms is the... of worms is how do you protect people from rippers? Hard permissions will be our strongest... hard permissions and also the licensing area will be our hardest attempt at preventing rippers, right? We will do our best in those features to prevent that from occurring, but it is impossible to prevent it from occurring outright. Calamity Lane says, were any details disclosed? Yes, look at hard permissions and also license system if we have that as a GitHub issue yet. Modern says, Let's say I have a GitHub issue that causes the game to crash of a certain avatar and I have a system on it. Can I just give the resonate package in DMs? Because I don't want to put that on the GitHub. Report it on the GitHub and send the avatar package in DMs. Would that be okay? No, I wouldn't advise doing that. Just put in the issue that that's the situation, and then whoever gets assigned to that issue can reach out to you personally. If you immediately go to, I'll DM Fruks the resonate package file, then it puts pressure on Fruks to deal with it. The whole point of putting things onto GitHub and being quite adamant about that is it goes into a system that is not, it's not one person, right? It goes into a system and multiple people can touch it. If you're DMing a resonate package to one specific individual, then only that one specific individual can touch it. That's what I would say. I would say that in the actual issue, like, I have a resonate package I can provide that would help this, but I'm concerned about giving it. And then the person that is assigned to that issue will reach out for it. At some point, maybe we need some sort of like dead drop service where you can like drop stuff to us and it gives you like a code, and then you can put that code into the GitHub issue. And then that refers to the upload or something like that. That's how like security people might do it, etc. To clarify some additional objectives on simple avatar protection, which I will write a wiki page for eventually. The point with simple avatar protection is that it's meant to be simple. It was never meant to be a Redux protection. When it was implemented, people essentially told us they just care about the users can't simply grab the avatar and save it, and it doesn't need to do anything more robust than that. And then people kept asking us to make it less simple and more robust, and we did. And then they asked for more, and we did. And they asked for more, and we were hesitant to do it because it was already getting messy. And then we got yelled at, so we did. And then they asked for more, and we were hesitant again. And then we got yelled at again, so it made it even more. Now it's in a state where it's stretched way past design purpose, with people asking us to make it into something it was never meant to be. Fruxius also says, please don't DM. I have tons of unread DMs because I'm like, oh, I can't deal with this right now, or I don't have the time. So I mark it unread to remember, but then it gets mixed with other messages and then I don't know what it is, or if I don't respond, I feel bad, stuff like that. 100% agreed. One of the important things that I want to say for Fruxius though is please configure your Discord notifications. Every time I am near your laptop, I am terrified at the amount of desktop Windows notifications that are being produced by Discords that I don't personally think that you should be in or have notifications on of. But it's entirely up to you, and I don't want to like, you know, sit you down and force you to do it. But I would strongly suggest that you don't have desktop toast notifications on for anything other than DMs. But it's up to you. So whatever works, you work. And don't ignore my DMs because, you know, those are very important. Fruks, very, very important sometimes. Fruks is generally good at responding to me, by the way. I'm not, like, complaining here. Fruks also says that simple avatar protection is one of the examples of doing number one and number two, like we're talking about. Out of context, that's going to sound horrible. Oh my god. So, no, it's actually, it's one of the good examples of planning out an implementation and then doing it rather than just implementing it quickly is simple avatar protection. And that's also why it was my answer for the rushed component, right? I wasn't talking about Fruxius's bathroom habits. I will never talk about that. Okay, I think we're at the bottom of... Oh no, we got one more from Regar22. Can I talk to someone about hosting a community event? If it is a community event, just do it. Just do it. I'll give you some general guidance for a community event though. Number one is to post it in meetups. Number two is to make sure that that meetup post has everything anyone needs to ever understand how the event works. We need a time. We need a location. We need a description of the activity. We need a length of the activity. We need how to join and what it's about. I see sometimes posts in meetups where it's like, yo guys, it's the really cool sounding meetup. But I'm like, how do I join? How? And there's no information. That's that question. Joseph, just a quick note here, Joseph, the font that you're using for your username is inaccessible to multiple swathes of users, and because I've got like a bit of an accessibility brain in my brain, I feel compelled to tell you that. I'd strongly suggest you return your name to the regular font to be conscientious of people who can't read that stuff. Thank you. Two things. Is there a way for me to run my Python-based AI companion in Resonite, and then can I share my screen in Resonite? I would have to like look into how your AI actually works. What you want to do though is get whatever you have into as close to what people do in Resonate as possible. So an example might be if your AI does sound, then look into some of the mute helpers that can do text to speech, etc. Those will help you out with sound. If it does text, look into some of the WebSocket related or HTTP related stuff that brings in translation text, and maybe you can cobble something together from both of those. Secondarily, you've got a question about sharing your screen in Resonite. That is not something you can do currently, but it is a feature that we hope to work on in the future. There are some community tools that allow you to share your screen in Resonite, but those are basically just you do the, it's not this, but it's effectively this. You Twitch stream your screen to a location, and then you pick that up in game. Fruk says, it's also why we push so hard on sometimes with the things that people like. It takes 5 minutes to code it, but don't realize that you then have to support it for a long time. Yeah, we have a lot of instances of that, particularly in the Linux build channel. Quick note on that one. I've noticed like increasing hostility towards the development team in the Linux build channel. Just don't, please. We'll get there when we get there. Fruk says, it's a 5 minute quick fix thing that now costs us days, weeks, and lots of sanity. Yep, happens all the time. Linux users, we're on your side. Like, we get it, right? We understand why you're using Linux. I want to move to Linux before I'm forced to move to Windows 11. So, I'm on my way to Linux. I'm right there with you. I'm fighting in your corner. And what I get in response is, complaints. And it's really, it just doesn't make me want to touch Linux at all. Nuki says, one of the modders, I think the one who wrote Cherry Picker, wrote a great explanation that boiled down to the difference between a mod and actual feature is I don't have to worry about it not breaking anything ever. It's entirely correct. Yeah, that's Cyro. I think he expanded that in the Outflow description or something like that. That's another mod he made, by the way. He talked about how with mods, he's able to basically lay a giant, big, twisty cable through the corridors of a building and plug it into all the places he needs to. And no one really cares that it's a mess and they're going to trip over it. But for the actual implementation, we have to pipe the cables through the walls, through ducting, make those cool face plates. If you're in a building and you walk up to the wall and there's an Ethernet jack attached to the wall, a plug, that building's got some good wiring. All right, they thought about it. They put network through the walls. The network, guys, it's in the walls. There's a link to our permission system. I think we're done there. I think we've got through all the questions. I have a random treat for the end of the session here. I just have to be very careful trying to get it. Yep, I got it successfully. The random treat is photo of dog. So you'll get that and then we'll leave off. Here you go. Dog photo. Okay, we have one more question. I was going to say no to it, but fine. It's just one more, but it allows me to say no. No more questions. Nuki, you're the last question. Prime, any more advice for a world that new users are sent to? Lots of my advice would actually go to people in that session. There's a Kinotron did that video about overwhelming new users, and it's a really quick indication of some of the problems I see with a lot of mentors, a lot of new user instructors, non-mentor people that are acting as mentors. They overwhelm the user. I also recommend, and I know you're building an avatar station for this exact purpose of getting people into an avatar, but I recommend that people's first session playing Resonite isn't in the avatar that they use from other platform. I want to just give them an avatar and let them explore the platform, get invested in the platform enough that they have the motivation to import their avatar. That's also the way it works in VRChat, by the way. When you first join VRChat, you cannot upload an avatar. You have to be above visitor rank. And what that allows you to do is get invested in the platform and then want to upload it. And it also protects against some forms of abuse. We don't have that restriction physically or technically, but we can have that restriction mentally, and it often leads to a better experience. I found it incredibly annoying in VRChat, I agree, but I also enjoyed the mental part of it, right? It was, I am frustrated, I cannot, because VRChat will not allow me to upload my avatar. I cannot and I want to. And so I immediately got invested in how to do that and did it. Flux says, if you pay, you skip that mostly since you buy reputation. The reputation doesn't come from the purchase. The reputation comes from the credit card because they know you're a real person. Anyway, that's it. This dog actually wanted to go out at the start of the office hours, but then they decided to go to sleep. So I'm going to very politely wake them up and say, hey, you want to go outside? And they're going to love it because, it's a nice sunny day. Anyway, I'll speak to you guys soon. And if you've got any other questions, you know where to find me. Bye.